Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago. In my ministry, I trust it'll bless you.
We're going to look at the site of the last battle of this age, and the last battle of this age is going to be over that Temple Mount right there, and they're already fighting in Jerusalem now, so that lets you know things are close. Turn to Zechariah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 12. And we'll look at Zechariah chapter 14. We've been talking about the Jews, the nations, and the church, three groups of people. It would be good if you would get the earlier lessons because we cannot review them. But 1 Corinthians 10:32 tells us there are three groups of peoples on the earth. The Jews, the nations, and the church. The nations of this world as nations, the heathen nations of this world, will under the banner of the Antichrist wage a last war of this age against Jerusalem. Jesus will come on his white horse and settle it. We're going to get down more into that tonight, but we're going to just refer to it right now. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. Excuse me, Zechariah. When I hear this little murmuring, I know I did something wrong. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 2. Behold, we better get verse 1 because we got to know the authority this is spoken on. When God names his authority, he means I made it, I did it, I say what happened. Zechariah 12:1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. I believe he's authoritative, right? Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all nations, the word is goyim here, round about, when they shall be in a siege against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all nations. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. There's no need for the United Nations, the European Union, Saudi Arabia, or anybody else to come up with a peace plan. God says who gets Jerusalem. End of verse 6. Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place in, and here's the way you say it in Israel, and you're going to understand this better in a minute, Yerushalayim. Now, verse 9 says, I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. God will do it. You can go to chapter 14. I will gather, verse 2, all nations against Jerusalem to battle. They're falling into God's traps right now. But when they do their business and do their worst trouble, it says, verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Hallelujah, bless the Lord. In verse 7, it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, and in that day, verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. And it speaks then of a great judgment here and in other places that will take place right at Jerusalem. All the world is judged at Jerusalem. The Jews, the nations, and the church, and the great white throne judgment down 1,000 years from now takes place at Jerusalem. I've always known in my life that Jerusalem was so important to God, and I knew that the devil knew why, and he caused trouble over it, but I didn't know why. I'm learning more and more about that every day as we go along. I'm learning things from the past of Jerusalem. Here's what the oral tradition of the Jews say. The oral tradition of the Jews says that at that rock, Adam was created. And then he was moved eastward to Eden, into a garden of Eden. And that's what the Bible says. Then there was planted a garden eastward in Eden. And the Bible says, I mean not the Bible, but the Jewish tradition says that Shem, the son of Noah, came back, and of course he knew about God, his father Noah taught him. And that he came down from Ararat to this place, and that this is what Jewish oral tradition says, is that Shem was Melchizedek. Melchizedek simply means King of Righteousness. It's a title. And his name would have been Shem. And so now we're going to, but no matter whether you believe that or not, in all the earth there is a land, Israel. In all that land there is a city, Jerusalem. In that city there's a hill, Moriah, Mount Moriah. And on that hill there's a rock, and the last battle of the age is going to be there. Over that. So we're going to look at the origin of that place. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 12. It's hard sometimes to understand why things are in their ending if you do not understand them in their beginning. All of the Old Testament gives us a view of God's time clock, the Jews. And you can tell where you are on the time clock by knowing what state they're in. The state of God's dealings with the Jews includes their choosing. And we'll write this down for those of you who were not here before. They're choosing, they're blessing, they're scattering. Remember, he scattered them all over the world. They're in gathering. Thank God he's in gathering. I'm glad I don't live up here in just the scattering part. I'm glad I'm in the in gathering time. Amen. Their restoration, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, it says in the book of Romans 11, and that's referring to the Jews, and the redemption. He will take them back to their original state. Their original state and job is to give to the nations the light of God. They will do that during the millennial age. All the nations that are left in the millennial age on the earth, sheep nations, will go up to Jerusalem to receive light from God. And then we're going to see their redemption either this morning or tonight. We're going to see how that comes about. Now, let's look at the beginnings of this time, and this would be in the time of the blessing, the time of bringing them into the promised land. And as they come into the promised land, it was inhabited by Canaanites, different tribes of peoples, and they did terrible, horrible things. If you want to find out some of the bad things they did, you can look in a history on the internet. They offered up children. They were into all kinds of sexual, terrible things. And so God sent them into the land, drive out the Canaanites. Their sins were full, and gave the people their land. But he said, we're going to do it little by little. You remember that? Because the farmers there had to keep the crops going. So as they come in, they're going to be around those people who worship other gods. But God says to them, don't you worship like they do. They worship under every green tree. They burn incense everywhere. But you don't do that. You're not allowed to. And so here we're going to see what God says. Deuteronomy 12, 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto Jehovah your God, but unto the place which Jehovah your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there. And to his habitation shall you seek, and thither shall you come. So we see them using this word here. And I told you that in Hebrew language, there are words that are more important and words that are less important. And this is a word in the Hebrew language that is one of the most important words. If Christians only understood this, they wouldn't get mixed up between Jerusalem, this heavenly city, and Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, which is us. Because they would know this word, makom, which is, this is the, ha-makom, the place. This word is place. Oh, I could go into quite a lengthy discussion with you about how important it is, whether I say to you, come to my place, how what a special word it has, or your place. Place in God. When we say Israel, we can mean the land or the people. They go together. People go with their places in the plan of God. I remember 1991, the Jews started coming home from Russia. I was in Israel studying Hebrew at the time, and we went to the Knesset, which is the parliament. I went there with Shulamit Katz Nelson. And she took a children's choir from our Hebrew language school because they all came over from Russia. They had to learn Hebrew. And these little children stood up and they sang, "There is a place for me." And all the Jews knew what they were singing. There's a place for us. A makom for us. And those little children stood up there and sang, and I cried and cried and cried because I'd been going to the Soviet Union since 1980. And I knew of when the Jews were trying to get out of the Soviet Union. And those little children stood up and sang in those early days, Yesh makom sheli, there is a place that's mine. Yesh makom sheli, Yesh makom sheli, Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. God gave them a place. The devil's intent to see they don't get it. But he will be defeated. I don't care what politics says. So here's where they first hear about Hamakom. God's name is there. We don't really understand what this means, but I read the Jewish commentators and they say, we don't understand it all, but somehow of all the spots on earth, God connects himself with that spot. He puts his name there. He says, don't you do like they do. Verse 9, for you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. Their inheritance is Jerusalem. It doesn't belong to you folks. Earthly Jerusalem doesn't belong to the church. Heavenly Jerusalem does. Hallelujah. Verse 11, then there shall be a place which Jehovah your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. You don't burn your incense and offer your offerings just all over the land, but verse 14, in Hamakom, in the place which Jehovah shall choose in one of your tribes. Verse 18, you must eat your offerings, your tithes and things before Jehovah your God in the place which Jehovah your God shall choose.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.